Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. So we're here with Joyce Houston. We've been talking a little bit about how to can one of Humboldt County's favorite things, which is albacore tuna. And I think it's something that everybody really enjoys. If somebody gives you a jar of handmade, hand-canned albacore tuna, it just makes you very happy.
It does, as long as you know that they pressure canned it.
Right, as long as you know that the procedures that were followed were correct.
Yes.
So we're going to talk a little bit more about that this time. Last time we talked about, you know, how do you hook up with a fisherman and what do you do to get that product into the jar? And we got to the point where we fingertip tightened the jars and we have to finish talking about how you pressure can albacore tuna. So different pressure canners are different.
Yes, they are. I have a dial gauge.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and yeah. I've always used the dial gauge. But there are the weighted pressure canners. Those people who have them love them.
I heard you almost trip up and say pressure cookers.
I know.
And I think that's a common misconception people have, that a pressure cooker and a pressure canner are the same thing, but
that's
they
right.
really are not.
They are not. You cannot really use a pressure cooker to can anything.
Not safely.
Not safely.
No. But you can use a pressure canner to cook. I've put a whole turkey in mine and pressure cooked it in about 45 minutes.
That had to be quite a picture.
It was quite a picture. But let's get back to pressure canning. You got to put a little bit of water in the canner. And I think the instructions for your canner will tell you how much water to
put in.
That's
right. I would say that the general instruction is 2 to 3 inches. But as you say, each canner manufacturer will have a booklet that goes along with the canner. And you want to follow their instructions.
Yeah. You put hot water in the canner. So when you start to put the jars in, you're going to need to use a device to lift them and put them into the canner.
Right.
Yeah. And you want to make sure you don't tilt them.
Absolutely. At any time.
At any time.
When before you can, as well as after they've finished processing, you don't want to tilt the jars because you can get some of the fish oil, which might get up under that seal. And all your work is lost.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
No.
So you put the jars in the canner, and you can actually put 2 layers of jars when you're pressure canning, which is pretty nice because it's quite a long process, so you want to make sure you get as many jars as will comfortably fit
right.
in there.
You do want to have some kind of something between the jars, and many times canners will come with 2 racks so that you can do that, or you want to place them off-center. You don't want the second layer to be directly above the first layer.
Yeah, you don't want to place one jar right on top of another jar. You want a little bit of offset there.
That's right.
And I think having, you know, something that separates the layers is really nice to prevent that from happening.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Then you put the lid on your pressure canner and you put it on the stove. And you don't at this point have a weight on it yet.
No.
You want it to vent.
That's right. And you don't have a weight on it. And you also don't have the petcock or the gauge closed. You will see what that is.
Yeah. You're not trying to create pressure yet.
No.
Because first thing you want to do is make sure there's adequate amount of heat in your pot. And so you want to make sure that that steam is free flowing through the opening in your canner.
That's right.
So you're ready to shut it down and make it start building pressure.
That's right. You want to get rid of that extra air.
Yeah. And so you put the weight on, then pressure starts increasing.
It certainly does. And it doesn't take long.
And it really depends on where you're located, what altitude you're at, to determine how long and at what pressure you're canning it.
That's right.
Now, here on the coast, what would you say is the correct amount of pressure and time for tuna?
Well, the correct pressure, as now recognized, is 11 pounds. And it is for 100 minutes.
Yeah. It's a long time.
Yes.
But it really needs to happen to assure that you have a safe product. So then you can start timing it when the pressure reads at 11 pounds.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You put that timer on. What if you have a loss in pressure at some point?
Boy, if you lose pressure, you go below that 11 pounds, then you need to start the timing all over. You need to bring it up to pressure and then start your timing from zero.
And the moral of the story is get yourself a book, get yourself a chair. Position yourself next to your canner.
And then look at it once in a while. Don't get so engrossed in the book you never look.
True. So once you've reached the amount of time for proper, safe canning of the tuna, what do?
Well, you turn the heat off and you let it cool. And I have a gas stove, and I just let it cool right there on the burner. For one thing, they are very heavy.
Yeah.
And so I just let it cool there until all the pressure shows that it is down to zero. And then you can open the little petcock, wait 5 minutes, and then you can take your lid off your canner. It's not anything you want to rush. You don't want to put cold water over your canner. You don't want to do anything that is going to rush that.
And I don't know why people are tempted to do things, but they are. And just know that that is terribly unsafe to try to rush the natural cool down process of your canner.
For many reasons.
Yeah. And then, of course, be sure to lift the lid away from your face.
That's right.
Because you get a really bad steam burn.
Yeah, it's still very, very hot inside that canner.
Yeah. And then you wait 5 minutes and then remove the jars. And then you put the jars on a towel.
Right. You don't want to put it directly on a hard surface because you may crack the bottoms of your jars.
And that's even sadder than anything.
It's very sad.
Because you have to throw them away then. It's not like just when you get one that doesn't seal.
No,
because
that
one you can eat. But if the ones that break, you really have to throw them away because you can't really know whether there are any glass particles in your food. So then you wait 12 hours. They've completely cooled down.
Mm-hmm.
They're ready to put away. Then you remove the rings.
That's right. You want to leave those rings on. And when they come out of the canner, you do not want to screw them down. You want to leave them alone.
Yeah.
Pull them straight up and across and put them down where they're going to be for 12 hours. And then after that time, you can take that ring off.
Yeah. Take the ring off, wash the jars.
Absolutely.
Because let's face it, there's a little fish oil that got in the water.
And they get stinky.
They'll get stinky. And then you remove the rings because at any point while they're in storage, if those lids were to come unsealed,
that's right.
You may not know it. If your ring's on there, it might actually act like it's sealing back up again.
Yeah.
And it's an unsafe product again.
Yes.
Now, where would you store it?
Well, in a cool, dry, dark place. I store them under my bed.
Yep. That's a great place. I store them under the bed in the spare bedroom.
Yeah.
I have all my canned goods under there. It's like one of the best places in the house.
Oh,
one of
man.
The coolest spots.
Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah.
It stays the same temperature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, have you ever canned smoked albacore? Have you ever smoked it first?
No.
I've done that. I've done that like the last couple years. And it's so easy. And the amazing thing is like 15 minutes of smoke adds a tremendous amount of flavor to the product. It's not over smoked. And then you just go right through that same canning process you would with a piece that was not smoked.
Right. Huh. Yeah. No, I've not tried that because I enjoy the regular albacore so much that I do not find the need to smoke it.
Okay, well, this is Jennifer Bell. I've had the pleasure of talking about canning albacore properly. Joyce Houston is a master food preserver with the University of California Cooperative Extension Office. Thank you so much, Joyce.
You're welcome. It was fun.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought.